The Strange History of David Swan. Now on Mystery Theater. The Strange History of David Swan. Now on Mystery Theater. Mystery Theater presents another twice-told tale by Nathaniel Hawthorne, in radio version by Roger Crowther. Tonight, from CBC Halifax, The Strange History of David Swan.
I can't say as how I'm surprised you're tired.
I am.
What with a young chap like you who's obviously not used to it, be doing walking from sunrise to the height of noon. Why, the road ain't hardly tolerable, what with the heat and dust and all. Swan, you say your name is, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, once you heard tell of a swan. Down Boston way. Small dealer in the grocery line, he was. Might be kin of yours, you might be thinking.
No.
Hey?
I don't.
Rum sort of chap, old Swan. Made a tidy sum, though, he did in his time. He always refused to expand his premises. What would I want with a big shop, he used to say. I've always done well, but treat my customers well, he says. You get a big shop, he says, and what happens? You get more customers. And you get more worries. And you get more time to worry in, which you should be spending on your old customers, which you ain't. And then where are you, he says, eh? Eh? Well, I'll tell you that old Swan were a right one, though. Thought straight, he did. Yeah, ran a good small business. And one day... One day, he looks out his window and he sees that an old shop across the way is being made over into another grocery business. Large, big windows into it. Main in business. And they opens with a sale. And Swan, he looks across and he sees in the window opposite road up in these big letters, sausage, 65 cents. He says, I'll just see about that. And he writes in his window, mind.
Right.
60 cents. And then the other fella cuts his price to 55. That's his game, is it, says Swan? And he writes up 35. And the new fella looks across at Swan's, sees his sign, whistles to himself like a push-up sausage, 20. 25 cents, and Swan never bats an eye. 10 cents a pound, says he. 10 cents. That did it. New fella sees Swan's sign and comes storming into the shop and says, "See here, my man," he says. "I've been buying sausage wholesale for years. Cost, regular, 30 cents. How can you afford to sell at 10 when I'm losing my shirt selling at 25? Hey? Simple. I don't sell sausage. Eh? We're only dying to say it. The lad ain't asleep. Hey, young fella, wake up. Hey. Whoa, Jenny girl. Whoa, back. Oh, here. Here's your bundle. Down you get. Look lively. Can't a lad at 20 be a bit more sprightly, hey? Hey? Now, listen. This is where you'll catch the coach to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
See? Now, if I was you, I'd be taking myself that clump of maples yonder, right, down by the spring, right, and I'd sit in the shade and have a nap, baby, till the coach arrives.
Good enough.
All right. Should be long and... No, short of 3 hours. No, don't thank me, lad. It's been a real pleasure to talk to a good listener.
The sun has scarce passed the point of noon, and he sleeps. Is this life fair? Is God just that this youth should sleep without cares and the luxury of leisure, while I sweat my way through anxieties and toil? Why should I endure hardships while this callow lad enjoys his ease in the heat of the day? Perhaps I be cursed of God. Doth the serpent bruise my heel? Zounds, I care not. A curse upon ease and a plague upon luxury, say I, and thou, lad, enjoy thy repose, for time and the world shall soon be no more thy friend. Then shall life load thee with cares and suffering. Joy shall depart from thee forever.
Two more miles to go. Oh, really? I must be getting too stout. Much too warm. Time was when I would have skipped all the way to market. Now I wouldn't be going at all if it wasn't for that lad of mine. God love him. He should have had a father. Bless my soul, that's the first prayer I've had answered in 20 years. A man. Nay. Ah, let me see. Not a man. A healthy, grown-up boy. Fine of limb. Curly hair. Broad shoulders. Fine nose, too. Maybe. Warm this afternoon. 18, would you say he was? 20, maybe. 20. Well, that's the age I was myself when... Now, Martha Parsons, get those thoughts out of your head this minute. Boy's only a mere chick. Shame, shame. You on your way to market to sell cheese. Skip off, you vain hussy, you.
And I say unto you, brethren, beware, beware the foul thief. For I say unto you, he doth ever lay snares and bits to trap the young and unwary. Behold, Satan doth lurk in the flesh of those who reveal their reposeful bodies to the common view of passers-by. He doth exhibit sloth, and he enrageth the imagination, and heateth the passions of those who look upon his sensual fleshly ease. Witness now this youth, this torpid voluptuary. I say unto you again, brethren, that he hath delivered his soul up unto Beelzebub, has deprived himself of his humanity, is no more worthy than to be called a swine of the prodigal son. For here he lies, an awful instance of dead drunkenness by the roadside. This instance has God afforded me, and it shall be wrought into the text of this evening's discourse.
You're trying to kill us? What the devil are you doing?
Oh, Henry, hold me. I feel quite faint.
Of course you do, my dear. Driver, I say there, driver. Get up. Get up, I say.
Henry, don't scold him. He must be hurt.
What? Ah, yes, of course, my dear. You all right, what?
Oh, yes, indeed, Henry. Thank you. I'm quite recovered.
My dear wife, I'm so glad. Driver, I say there. Are you all right, my man?
Just a bit of a knock, sir, old man.
What the devil happened?
Henry.
What? Oh, yes, sorry, my love. Tell me, driver.
Linchpin.
What the... Yeah, I should say, linchpin, yes. Right. What about it?
Fell out, sir.
It did?
Yes, sir, and the wheel fell off.
Ask him about the damage, Henry.
Any damage to the vehicle?
It hasn't done much, sir.
It hasn't done a hell... Hello. Is that a brook I see there beneath the trees?
Yes, sir. There's a little spring. And if you and the lady would like to sit in the shade, I'll get the wheel back off.
What do you say, my dear?
By all means, Henry, yes.
And the lady out, will you, driver? And pass me my cane.
Certainly, sir. There you are, ma'am.
Thank you. Can you manage, Henry?
Yes, of course I can manage. Oh, damnation!
Henry.
You hurt.
No, just gave my foot one devil of a twinge. Come on, my dear. Let's get into the shade.
Henry, dear.
Yes, my love.
Henry, I do wish you would not swear before the driver.
Oh, good heavens, I'm sorry, my dear. Was it his turn?
Stop.
What? Augusta?
Henry, really, there's no talking to you.
Forgive me, Augusta. Always was a bit of a wag, you know. That's why a certain young lady married me, eh? Oh, damn.
Oh, Henry.
For heaven's sake, Augusta, you haven't got my gout.
I'm beginning to be glad I haven't got your language. I certainly have lost your respect.
Now, Augusta, my dear, you know that can't be true. You are all to me. You must know that. Always have been.
Always, Henry? Or?
Never doubted it.
And what about our boy?
The boy. You think I can forget him, my love? No, I never shall. For he was a copy of you, my dear, in good looks, in fine manners, and gentle nature. When I look upon you, I think of him. And his memory wears your face.
How kind you are, Henry.
No nonsense, my dear.
Take off your shoe, my dear. Let me bathe your foot in the spring.
No. Let me rather make you a leaf cup.
Oh.
I used to make them as a lad. And bring you some water to sip.
Henry.
Shh. What now, my dear?
Shh, we're not alone.
Eh? Stand behind me. Any intruder shall feel my stick.
Henry, make no noise, for we are the intruders.
What can you mean?
Look, beneath that tall maple tree, do you not see a sleeper?
By my soul, you are right, Augusta. Hold up your gown and let us approach a little closer.
Only a little. We must not disturb him. How soundly he sleeps.
From what a depth he draws that easy breath.
That supposes an easy mind.
Such sleep as that, brought on without an opiate, would be worth more to me than my savings in gold.
He has youth besides. Even quiet and healthy age does not sleep like this.
True. Our slumber is no more like his than our wakefulness.
A handsome youth in a chamber of trees.
A fine lad.
Oh, Henry, dear, look, there's a sunbeam glimmering down upon his face. Mm. Do you think you can contrive to twist a small branch to intercept it, lest the boy waken?
Of course, my love.
Thank you, Henry. Slumber is preserved.
Mm. My dear, you sound quite maternal.
How very nice it will be, my love, to be maternal again.
Yeah, Augusta, you know we cannot replace what we lost in poor young Harry.
We have never really tried.
Are you not forgetting your sister's boy, David?
David.
I would have been more than glad to have been a father to him, but you remember how he treated us.
Were you very hurt by him, Henry?
Hurt? Well, perhaps a little. Although I expected that he would never love us, I was disappointed more that he proved how my misgivings about him were well-founded.
We shall have to forget him. I suppose we can.
Oh, yes, I think we can forget him. But yet it remains that the one great sorrow of an otherwise very happy life, and we have been very happy, haven't we, my love?
Very, very happy, my dear.
The one great pleasure that would have crowned our happiness is denied to us. Nothing would have given me greater pride than to see our boy grow up to manhood.
But it was not to be, my dear. God would not have it so.
Yes, I fear so. We have wealth greater than we can ever spend, and yet we have no heir.
Shh, Henry, we shall waken the boy with our talk.
No, no, he only stirs, my love. He cannot have heard us.
He must have been very tired. I wonder where he came from.
Oh, who can tell? His shoes are dirty. Perhaps he's walked a long way.
Look, there's a button missing from his jacket, or his sleeve is torn.
So it is. I hadn't noticed. That's your woman's eye, my dear.
Mother's eye, I think.
Well, he may be on his way home.
He may not have a home. Perhaps Providence has laid him there.
How so, my love?
And brought us here to find him.
Oh, come, come, my dear. What nonsense is this?
May not God wish to replace for us the loss of our son?
It is possible he might. We do not deserve his favors.
Why do you say that?
You are forgetting your nephew, my dear. Was he not God's means to try us?
Nay, but we sought to make him our son. Providence did not put him in our way like this boy here. Henry, tell me, does he put you in mind of someone?
I cannot say, my dear.
I think I see a likeness to our departed Harry. Shall we waken him?
To what purpose? We know nothing of this youth's character.
Oh, but that open countenance, his innocent sleep.
But, my dear, this is absurd.
Please, Henry, look, waken him to please me. Tell him that you offer him a home, a livelihood, security, wealth more than he can ever want. Ask him to be our son.
Why should we do this for him?
Oh, nay, Henry, do it, I beg of you, for me.
My dear...
Oh, shall we waken him?
The carriage is ready, sir. The wheel is back on again. Are you ready to continue?
My love?
Yes, Henry, I'm ready.
Now, this asylum for unfortunate men of business I was discussing earlier, I think it should be quite a magnificent affair.
Have no young legs to be tripping upon. Oh, Faith. My dancing days have been over these 50 years.
Oh, come on now, Goody. Be a little more sprightly. It is a day for chasing butterflies.
Oh, you leave a poor woman be. 'Tain't respectable to be a prancing down the highway. Proper young lady should know better. And what's more, a girl well brought up should know how to tie a garter.
What?
Aye, you might well blush, for your hose is wrinkled about your ankles, just like the neck of a jack-in-the-box.
Goody, how horrid you are to laugh at me so.
Oh, better for me to laugh than a gang of your father's drovers.
Those beasts.
Oh, away, you goose.
No. Goody, there's a man under the tree.
A man? What of that?
Shh.
She's asleep. Is she now? Well, well, let me get a breath of air into my old chest and take a look at him.
Don't you feel well, Goody?
Oh, well enough, child, for an old one who's not used to hurry. Now, where is this man of yours?
By the spring.
Oh, I am fast asleep. He's so still I should not have seen him.
Well, nor I, but I was bending to tie my garter when he stirred.
Oh, bless my soul, off you go into a blush again.
Oh. Did he see you? Oh, he did not.
Then there's no need to get yourself excited, is there? It's not as if you'd blundered into a gentleman's bed-by room. Tippy-toe away quietly and let him enjoy his rest.
Wait, there's a bee.
Oh, Lord love us, there are worse perils.
It's a monster of a bee.
He's only enjoying the leaves and the sunlight. Let the bee alone.
No, no, look. Look, it's going to settle on the young man's eye.
Oh, let it be, girl.
But I cannot. If he stirs, the sting might be fatal. Where's my handkerchief? Here it is. Now, shoo, Mr. Bee. Off you go. Psh, go on. There.
Handsomely done, my lass. Handsomely done.
Oh, it was nothing.
Nothing. Oh, but my dear, you mistake me. I was meaning him. He's handsomely done.
Oh, Goody.
Now, don't you goody me. I can tell what you're thinking.
Oh, can you now?
Of course I can. I see you stealing glances while battling with that dangerous dragon of the air.
You did not.
Didn't I? Can you deny an old woman so surely? Oh. Did it not pass through your mind that destiny had brought you two at last together?
What can I say?
Oh, you need say nothing. Your blushes express what words could not. Tell me, Jenny, would you have me wake him?
No.
Oh, you see, no, but you do, yes. Shall I wake him and tell him what passed through your mind?
Oh, no.
That your father is a wealthy farmer hard by here. That he is just now looking for such a man in years as this. How happy it would be were this youth to be your father's clerk. How happy you to be his bride in time. How close lies this boy to ease, wealth, and love.
How sound he sleeps.
Well, what have we got then, Bill?
A mixed bag, Jake. Some deep, not enough to swing for.
How much money?
$10.
What? From that rich old man in the carriage?
Yeah.
He must have had more about him. He smelled of gold, he did.
He was playing, I tell you.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
I believe you, William. But if I find out that you've lied to me, you know what I will do?
Well, why should I care?
I will cut your tongue and slit your nostrils. That's why you should care.
You wouldn't live long.
And you wouldn't appeal to Farmer Gillis's pretty wench of a daughter. I was here with the old crone, Goody Whatnot, walking home as if to a funeral, wasn't you?
And what if it was?
You just remember what I say, Bill. Just don't try to double deal, Jake. He don't like it.
Suppose you tell me what you got, huh?
Suppose you give me something to eat.
You can have some cheese.
Better than nothing. Where'd you get it?
From a widow going to market.
What widow?
Can't recollect her name.
What'd she look like?
Fair, fat, 40.
Oh. What else did you take?
Nothing. Cheese was all I could get.
I bet it was. You want a word of this?
Eh? You could,
From a preacher. Here. Take a slug of that.
Yeah. Ooh, that's plenty powerful.
Should be.
How come?
This old buzzard told me it was the devil in a bottle, and he was going to keep him there.
Was he raving on about drunkenness and death?
Well, it seems to me he were, but I didn't pay him, now never mind. I just give him a crack on his head, and there he lies till tomorrow's morning in the ditch.
That's where he'd be anyway, after wrestling with the devil all night. Preacher Dan. Son, he used to say to me, you never know how the spirit's going to move you once it's cut out of the bottle.
I should have hit him hard.
Yeah, he's harmless.
Only when he's drunk.
Yeah. get drunk on this bottle.
Bell, Bell. I got an idea. We got cheese, hooch, and a few dollars. I got the hooch, you got the cheese, and it ain't worth splitting the money. Say we deal for it,
You got the cards?
Never travel without them.
Well, I'm in. Cut for deal.
These are my cards.
That's what I don't like.
What? You calling me a cheat?
No, right? I ain't taking chances.
Well, my deal, then.
All right. Try shuffle.
Bill, I keep telling you they are my cards.
Well, who stole the dollars, Jake? You or me?
Oh, what's that to me?
Why should I pay for money I stole? Oh, tell me that.
Bill,
why?
Bill,
why?
Honor among thieves now. Share and share alike. Why should you play? Simple. Either you play or I cut your throat.
No.
If you play, simple again. Ideal.
It's a double cross.
Oh, be honest, Bill. It's daylight robbery. How many's that each, huh?
Five. And I still think there's something fishy here.
Well, what do you say, Bill? Well, I'm waiting.
What was that?
I don't know. I didn't hear nothing.
Came from behind you. Under the maple tree.
Come on, you bet.
Let's take a look.
You want to play this game?
But Jake, I heard something.
Bill, I've been around long enough to know when a man's bluffing, and you are bluffing.
I am not.
That's what you say, but I'm not turning my back to you for one second.
Don't, Dan. The devil take you.
By the Lord, Bill. There is someone about. We can't be found here, or else we swing for it.
Wait.
Let's be gone.
Wait. There's no need to run. Look beneath the maple by the spring. What do you see?
By the Lord, a sleeping duck.
Easy feathers to be plucked.
A simple neck to be wrung.
You see the bundle under his head? Hey.
I'll lay you a horn of brandy that the chap either has a pocketbook or a snug little hoard of small change stowed away among his shirts.
Yeah.
And if not there, we shall find it in his pantaloons pocket.
How if he wakes?
Then I'll stick him with this. Clean through the windpipe.
So be it. I'm game.
Nay, he's the game.
I'll relieve him of his bundle. If he stirs,
I'll strike.
Ready?
Ready?
Dog. The devil's hand.
A cursed dog.
Oh, damn brute.
Pox, Ernie. We can do nothing now. That's a beagle, and his master will be close by.
Well, let's take a last drink and be off.
You for Boston, young fella?
Right.
Look lively there. Come on, there's room on top for a lad that can stay awake. Up you get. Keep your eyes open. Fortune doesn't smile on those who sleep. Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
The Strange History of David Swan, one of Nathaniel Hawthorne's twice-told tales, was heard tonight on Mystery Theater in radio version by Roger Crowther. The cast: Bill Fulton, Faith Ward, Bruce Armstrong, Dan MacDonald, Flora Montgomery, John Fulton, and Walter Borden. Sound: Harold Porter and Lee Bailey. Audio: Bud Tabor. Mystery Theater was produced and directed from CBC Halifax by Peter Duncan. Pat Napier speaking.